All right, good to see you this morning. I appreciate you being here for the Sunday School Hour. I came across a shocking quote in an article that I found on a website called SilverGoldBull.com. And it said, and here's the quote, it said, "Throughout history, no paper currency has survived the test of time. Paper currencies," the article said, "have always been inflated." Remember, we talked about that last time, right? Inflation. Paper currencies have always been inflated until they eventually become worthless. In other words, it's inflated, inflated, inflated. Boom, it's not worth anything anymore. That's kind of how it goes, according to history. Then it gave an example in the article. It said the value of the U.S. dollar, and this one really shocked me, but since 1913, the value of the U.S. dollar has declined by 98%. 98%. And unfortunately, according to the article, all other currencies are experiencing the same sort of dilemma. And it's because of this decline in currencies and the value of currencies, according to an article published in the Financial Post. This was on the 25th of September, 2012. It was noted that many financial advisors have advised their clients to invest in commodities. To invest in commodities. The article went on to say that a company, Morgan Stanley, it's a U.S.-based multinational financial services corporation, but Morgan Stanley recommends investing in precious metals. Investing in precious metals, particularly gold and silver, and I quote, here's what their reason was. It's because loose monetary policy sends investors seeking something with more stable value. Something that is more stable in its value. Bottom line, gold and silver, it's good currency. Good currency. Good thing to invest in. Gold and silver. I'm kind of like the Apostle Peter. He said, "Silver and gold have I none." But anyway, it's a good investment, okay? Gold and silver. It's a good investment. It's good currency. And in fact, it's always been that way. Did you know that? It's always been that way. Because you go way back into the very beginning, back to Genesis chapter 13 and verse number 2, the Bible says that Abram was very rich in cattle. Now notice it. And not only that, but also in silver and in gold. So it's good currency. Even from the very beginning, it's been good currency. But there's a serious problem that is common among all men, and that's when whatever it is that we're investing in, whether it's gold, silver, currencies, properties, whatever it may be, the problem is that many times our values become misplaced. And that's the issue that I want to deal with and our lesson today. The problem of misplaced values. Our values are misplaced. And here's an easy test how you can know whether or not your values are misplaced or not. Here's an easy test. Our values are misplaced when we begin to trust in our wealth instead of trusting God. Your values are misplaced. When we begin to trust our wealth instead of trusting God, values are misplaced. Or when we begin to love our wealth more than we love God, our values are misplaced. And there comes some dangerous spiritual consequences when values are misplaced. When our values are misplaced, it's very easy for us to become like the man that Jesus spoke about. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8, verse number 14, Jesus said it's very easy for us to become choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, result, we bring no fruit to perfection. Bring no fruit to perfection. That's a serious consequence, because here's why. Jesus said that it's by the producing of fruit that our Father is glorified, right? Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. But when we get our values misplaced, it chokes us so that we cannot produce the fruit that we ought to be producing. Bottom line, there are some things that are far better. And there are some things that are far more valuable than silver and gold. There's some things that are far more valuable than silver and gold. And so with that in mind, I want to deal with two main points this morning. First of all, let's look at the metallic commodities. The metallic commodities. And the first one we're going to look at is going to be gold. We're going to look at gold. Now, this is a precious, it's referred to as a precious metal. In fact, for those of you who are chemically inclined, okay? For those who are chemically inclined, on the periodic table of elements, gold is ranked number 79. Just thought I'd throw that in there. Aren't you impressed? But anyway, just thought I'd mention that. It's number 79 in the periodic table of elements. And it's precious. It's considered precious for several reasons. And let me mention them for you. First of all, number one, it's precious because it's scarce. It's scarce. You don't just walk out on the street and find gold laying around. Right? If you do, it fell out of somebody's pocket. It just normally it's not there. It's a scarce thing. It's a scarce thing. I remember as a kid hearing the fairy tale about a fellow by the name of King Midas. Have you ever heard that story? King Midas, remember? King Midas? And King Midas, he was a man who had a terrible problem, and his problem was everything he touched turned to gold. I'd like to have that problem for about 15 or 20 minutes. But at any rate, King Midas, that was his problem. Everything he touched, he turned to gold. And even though men have dreamed of discovering some way to have that Midas touch, everybody's dreamed about that. And even though they have dreamed about it, yet all attempts to take something that is not gold and transform it into gold have failed. They have failed. Even in this age of great scientific knowledge, in this age of advanced chemistry, it's impossible for men, governments, whatever, it's impossible for us to make or to manufacture gold. You can't do it. Can't do it. Only God can make gold. Only God can make gold. And when He created the earth, He planted within it a certain amount, a limited amount, I might add, of gold. A limited amount. In other words, gold is not an inexhaustible supply. And from statistics that can be found, it is learned that gold is becoming more and more scarce. It's getting harder to find. It's getting harder to find. So it's a very precious metal, first of all, because it's not common. It's scarce, okay? Number two, it's also a precious metal because it is compact. In other words, gold, unlike many other valuable assets, is easily concealed and transported. For example, you can invest thousands and thousands of dollars in a piece of gold that will actually, you can hide it in your pocket. Try doing that with your Mercedes. Not so easy to hide, is it? Not so easy. It's very compact. Very compact. Gold is something that you can literally easily transport, take with you from one place to the other. So it's compact. It's compact. And not only that, number three, it's divisible. It's divisible. Let me illustrate what I mean here. Anybody recognize that picture? It's called, When Will You Marry? It's kind of a rhetorical question. The answer is, I don't know who this woman is going to marry or when. But this is a painting that was painted by a French artist back in 1892. Now, the reason I show you this picture is because of the fact that this picture, in February of this year, just a couple of months ago, February of this year, this picture sold for the highest price that has ever been paid for a painting. Now, frankly, I wouldn't give you $3 for it, but somebody paid $300 million U.S. dollars to buy that painting. $300 million U.S. dollars. Now, suppose that I had a moment of insanity and I bought this picture. Okay? I paid $300 million for it, and I thought to myself, you know, I'm going to buy this picture, and then it'll make a nice inheritance for my two boys, right? I can leave it for Caleb and Benjamin, make a nice inheritance for them. And in order to make sure that both of them get their fair share, suppose I took some scissors. Just suppose, okay? I took some scissors, very carefully I cut it right in the middle, okay? So that each one gets the same size painting. Now that I have divided it, each of my boys are assured of an inheritance worth at least $150 million, right? $150, that's $300 million, right? Wrong. No, it doesn't work that way, does it? Doesn't work that way. That's foolishness, because everybody knows that this picture is only valuable as long as it is in one piece. Right? It's only valuable as long as it's one piece. But a piece of gold that is worth $5,000, you can divide that piece of gold, and literally the division does not diminish the value. Both halves will be equally worth $250,000. That's inflation, folks. It'll be worth $2,500, okay? Be worth $2,500. So gold, it is divisible. Number four, it is consistent. In other words, there's no such thing as good gold, bad gold. No such thing as good gold, bad gold. No such thing as poor quality gold or top quality gold. You don't have that. However, when you buy jewelry that is made from gold, you'll oftentimes see the term carat used, right? That's not C-A-R-R-O-T. It's actually spelled with a K. K-A-R-A-T. And it's used to describe the percentage of other metals that have been joined with the gold to make it more durable, or harder, I should say. You see, gold, pure gold, is very soft. And so therefore they will mix other metals with it to give it some strength in the making of jewelry and things like that. So when you see 24 karat gold, that's pure gold, but it's soft. But then you see 18 karat gold, which is what most jewelry is made from. 18 karat gold, some places even 14 karat gold. But 18 karat gold is actually 58% pure gold. The other 42% is some other metal that's been added to it. But the truth of the matter is, gold is gold. Gold is gold. And it's consistent. It's consistent. Number five, it is malleable. Malleable. In other words, it is easily hammered. It is easily shaped. I have read that it can be hammered, gold, can be hammered into sheets that are actually less than 5 millionths of an inch thick. In other words, that's very, very thin. Very thin. In fact, even though gold has no taste, some high-end restaurants actually put it on their food. Have you ever heard of that? Yeah, they take gold and they eat it. What is wrong with that picture? Somebody has more money than they have brains. But anyway, they'll take this gold and they take these little sheets of gold and they'll put it on and they'll use it for decorating foods or whatever. And the food actually contains this gold leaf that they will actually eat. That same gold can also be drawn to produce a thin golden wire. In fact, it can be drawn so finely that it is said that 1 ounce of gold can be used to produce a single strand of wire that is 56 kilometers long. 1 ounce of gold. 1 ounce of gold. It's malleable. It's malleable. Number six, it's versatile. It's versatile. In the New Testament times, we read in 1 Peter 3:3, James chapter 2, verse 2, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9. We find in New Testament times that gold was used for all different types of jewelry. Used for all different types of jewelry. However, today, gold has become of great value, not only in the manufacturing of jewelry, but it's also become a very important part of industry. A very important part of industry. It's uniquely used in the manufacturing of everything from precision instruments to... Everybody smile real big. Let me see if I see any gold in there. Okay. Yeah, fillings in the teeth, right? And so it's used in a whole different wide range of ways in industry. There's another thing that makes gold very valuable, and that's this. Number seven, it is indestructible. It is indestructible. That's why golden artifacts that are found in the ancient tombs of places like Egypt, they go down into these pyramids and they find these ancient tombs of the pharaohs and there's all these golden artifacts in there. Did you realize that even though thousands of years have gone by, the gold in those artifacts is exactly as it was back when those artifacts were placed in the tombs? It's indestructible. It's indestructible. And even if you melted it down and you made something else from it, even though it might lose some of the historical and some of the sentimental value, the gold itself loses none of its value. It's indestructible. It's indestructible. So gold, very precious commodity. There's another precious commodity that we mentioned. That's silver. Silver. This also is a precious metal. And just to wow you, on the periodic table of elements, it's listed number 47. Number 47. In Bible times, silver was primarily used for jewelry and for money. For jewelry and for money. The clearest example is seen around 1840 B.C. when Sarah, who was the wife of Abraham, had died. A burial place was sought and Abraham went to purchase the burial site. And the Bible says in Genesis chapter 23, verse number 16, that Abraham hearkened unto Ephron, and Abraham weighed to Ephron the silver, which he had named in the audience of the sons of Heth, 400 shekels of silver. Notice it, current money with the merchant. However, most of the silver that is used today is used in industry. It's used in industry. Silver is the best conductor of electricity and heat. It's the best conductor of electricity and heat, and therefore it's in great demand, especially in the field of electronics. Silver, as you know, tarnishes very easily. You understand that. I remember when I was a kid, my grandmother she had this display cabinet in her dining room, and it was full of silver stuff, you know. And because of that, every now and then she'd have a silver cleaning day, and she'd pull all her silver out, she'd polish, and get it all bright and shiny. Man, it looked just beautiful. Put it back in there, and then just short time later, it started getting dull and then ugly, you know, and all. It tarnishes very quickly. However, even though it tarnishes, its value is not diminished. It is still a wonderful conduit of an electric current, and therefore, almost every electrical appliance in use today contains silver. Now, I know some of you are going to go home and tear apart your microwave. So, I want that silver. Well, it's in there. But they use silver in almost every kind of electrical appliance today, in the contacts that are there, the switches that are there. It's found in microwaves, telephones, found in your television set, found in computers, found in batteries. The list goes on and on and on. Things where silver is actually used in the manufacturing of that. In fact, I've read that the U.S. uses more silver every year in industry than it mines. In other words, we're importing a lot of silver from other places, and as a result of that, prices, of course, are going higher and higher. But here's the bottom line. Bottom line is simply this. Gold and silver are extremely valuable commodities. And there are many people who will spend their whole lives trying to amass a pile of silver. They'll try to amass a pile of gold. But the sad thing is that they have not learned that there are some commodities available to us that are far more valuable. Instead of investing all your time and all your energy in the commodities that are metallic, there are some other commodities that you ought to spend your time going after, and that's the spiritual commodities. The spiritual commodities. There are two of these spiritual commodities that I want to mention here. And the first one is God's Word. God's Word. We're living in a day when many people don't think much of God's Word. They're more impressed with how they feel. They're more impressed by what appeals to them physically or mentally or emotionally or even spiritually. Instead of being focused on what does the Word of God have to say, their focus is on other things. And yet the Word of God is a very precious commodity. In fact, notice what the psalmist said. He said, more to be desired are they. And when you see the word they, you go back in the context, you find out he's talking about God's words. What God has said. And he says that they are more to be desired than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. The fine gold that is mentioned here is simply a gold that has been purified, and it is now the purest gold. All the dross, all the impurities have been cleaned out. It is the what we would call that. When you buy a gold bar, those of you who may have gold bars stacked up at home, you know it says that 0.999, you know, on there, purity. God's Word is just like that. Only it's not 0.999, it's just 100%. Just 100%. And David, when he compared the Word of God, when he compared to the Word of God to gold, he said it's more to be desired. It's more. It has higher value than gold. Even fine gold has higher value than that. And therefore, when David compared that gold to the Word of God, he says also in Psalm 119, verse 72, he said, "The law of thy mouth." What is that? That's the Word of God, right? The law of thy mouth, God's Word. Thy Word is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Now, David's the king of Israel. And he's surrounded by all kinds of wealth. And yet David here says, you take all of the gold, take all of the silver, even fine gold, put it over on this side, and then on the other side, put the Word of God. And he said, for me, I'll choose God's Word. I'll choose God's Word. Now there are several key reasons why David placed such a great value on God's Word. Let me just mention them to you very quickly. First of all, it's because God's Word is perfect. God's Word is perfect. Psalm 19, verse 7. There is no error in the Word of God, either in its statements or in its teachings. It's absolutely perfect. It's absolutely perfect. Number two, because it is transforming. Psalm 19, verse 7. It is the Word of God that converts us. It's the Word of God that saves us. You say, wait a minute, I thought we're saved by faith in Christ. Yeah, we are. But where does faith in Christ come from? Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. And so that's the bottom line. That's the seed that produces the faith that brings forth the fruit of salvation. And David said God's Word is most important because of its transforming power. Number three, David said he loved the Word of God because it is instructive. Psalm 19, verse 7, it leads us in the right way. Leads us in the right way. Not only that, number four, it is enriching. Psalm chapter 19 and verse 8, it is the Word of God. It is the Word of God that is the source of true joy. It's the Word of God that brings true joy into the hearts of men and women. Sometimes people are afraid that if they follow the Bible, sometimes people are afraid that if they do what the Word of God says, that if they obey the Scriptures, then somehow they're going to be happy or unhappy. If I do God's Word, then I'm going to miss out on all of the pleasures that the world has to offer. But the truth is, the exact opposite is so. The exact opposite is so. You remember what Jesus said? John chapter 13, verse 17. If ye know these things, talking about His Word. He said, if you know these things, happy are ye. Right? No. No. See, happiness doesn't come from knowing. Happiness comes from doing. True happiness comes from obeying what God has said. Not just knowing. You can go to Bible studies and learn all kinds of things about the Bible and be spiritually miserable in your life. Because happiness doesn't come from knowing. Happiness comes from obeying. From obeying the Word of God. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. And when we live by the Word of God, it produces that true joy that we need. As we consider all the spiritual benefits that God's Word brings to us, it's no wonder then that David concluded in Psalm 119, verse 127, he said, I love thy commandments. In other words, I love God's Word. I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Let me ask you this morning, what is your evaluation of God's Word? Where does it fit in your list of values? Gold. There's another thing that we ought to notice, and that is this, another commodity that is available to us, not only God's Word, but God's wisdom. God's wisdom. In Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6, the wise man said, for the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth. What is it that comes out of the mouth? It's words. Right? It's words. So out of his mouth, that means from his word then comes knowledge. and understanding. Bottom line, it's the Bible that is the source of all true wisdom. The Bible is the source of all true wisdom. A fellow by the name of Jacob Sherman. He was the third president of Cornell University in the U.S. He was the third president of Cornell University back in 1892 to 1920. Here's what he said. He said, "The Bible is the most valuable document in English literature. No man," now this is a college president, he said, "no man can be called an uneducated man who knows his Bible." And then he said, the other side is also true. He said, "no man can be called an educated man who does not know his Bible." That's a college president said that. Theodore Roosevelt, the 26th president of the U.S. from 1901 to 1909, he said this. He said, "a thorough knowledge of the Bible is better than a college education." Wonder how many parents believe that today. I dare say very few. Very few. But both of these men and their assessment of the value of the Word of God and God's wisdom, both of these men and their viewpoints totally agree with what the psalmist said. Both of them totally agrees with what we find in Scripture. Look at Psalm 119, verse 98 down to verse number 100. Here's what it says. It says, "Thou, through thy commandments..." Now what is that? That's the Word of God, right? That's the Word of God. "Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies." Where did that wisdom come from that made him wiser than his enemies? From the Word of God. Not only wiser than his enemies, he goes on to say that it's God's Word that has made him wiser than his teachers. And not only that, it is God's Word that has made him wiser than the ancients. In other words, the psalmist understood that the source of God's wisdom is God's Word, and it's always superior to the wisdom of the world. It's always superior. Wisdom is such a costly commodity. It's such a valuable commodity that Solomon, the wisest man who's ever lived, Solomon said that we ought to seek for God's wisdom. Just sort of if you have time, you know. If you feel like. No, that's not what he said at all. Notice it. In Proverbs 2, verse 4, he said we're to seek for it as silver and as hid treasures. Now, right out here across the street, there's a park. I think I'm pointing in the right direction. I get inside the building, I'm totally lost. But anyway, there's a park out there somewhere. Topayo Park, right? Suppose there came out an article in the Straits Times and says it has been found in old writings that there is a huge buried treasure worth millions buried in the park in Topayo. Now, I just tell you right now, we would probably have to cancel church because nobody would be here. All of you would be over there digging for the treasure, right? You'd want to be the one to find it. You'd want to be the one to get your hands on it. The truth of the matter is God's Word. God's Word is something that we ought to seek with that same desire and that same earnestness. Bottom line, when it comes to the value of God's wisdom, the wise man said this. He said, "Wisdom, it's better. It's better. It's more valuable. It's more precious. It's better than rubies. And all the things that may be desired..." Boy, that leaves a big blank, doesn't it? All the gold that could be desired, all the silver that can be desired, all the other things in your life that you may think are so important and things that are to be desired. Yet the wise man said, God's wisdom is better. It's more to be desired than all of those things. In fact, all of those things, the wise man said, should not even be compared to the value of God's wisdom. Now, the reason why God's Word and the reason why God's wisdom are so valuable, I think it's very clearly stated for us in Ecclesiastes 5:10 when it says, "He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver." He that loveth silver, not satisfied with it. Nor he that loveth abundance with increase. In other words, you desire all this silver, and the more you get, the more you want. And it's true of everything else this world has. All the other stuff this world has to offer. People get stuff, and they got stuff. They got a show and they show it here on TV sometimes. I don't remember the name. It's something about hoarders and my soul and body. You ought to see some of the houses that people live in. You can't even walk in the house. There's like a little trail, and you have to follow the trail. You know why? Because there is junk everywhere. Why do they do that? Well, it's because the more they get, the more they want. The more they get, it never satisfies. That's exactly what the wise man said. It's exactly what the wise man said. So it's no wonder, here's what he said. Here's what the wise man, his conclusion to all this, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. He said, Wisdom is the, I mean there isn't any other, this is it, right here. It is the principal thing. In other words, it is the most important commodity that you'll ever find. Wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, because that is true, here's the wise man's advice. Get wisdom. It's the principal thing. So get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her. Now, who is her? Well, that's the wisdom. He's personifying it now. And he says, exalt her. In other words, make wisdom your number one priority, and she will promote thee. She'll promote thee. She'll bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. Wisdom. Oscar Wilde, certainly not a Christian theologian. In fact, not even a saved man. He was a playwright, very successful back in his day. He died in 1900, and a lot of what he said is not worth remembering. But he did make one statement that is quite interesting and quite applicable even to our day. And here's what he said. Oscar Wilde said this. He said, "Nowadays people know the price of everything and the value of nothing." They know the price of everything. They don't know the value of anything. Don't know the value of anything. And so many people today will focus all of their attention. They focus all their attention on silver. Or they focus all their attention on gold. Or they focus all their attention on getting other things that this world has to offer. They focus all their attention on getting those commodities that the world has declared to be precious. And yet those same people very foolishly ignore the gold of God's eternal Word. And they ignore the silver of godly wisdom that will never fail to satisfy and that will always yield the greatest rewards. Wonder this morning, where's your focus? Where's your focus? Is it on the stuff that the world says is precious? Or is it on those things that are truly precious. God's Word. And God's wisdom, which can only be learned from God's Word. Say, what's truly precious? Where's your focus? I hope our focus will be in the right place. Because we live in a world today, it's a crisis. It's a crisis situation that men's focus is all wrong. Don't join that number. Have the right focus. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for your word. Take these.